Father, we open up your word, looking for what you have for us today. Speak to us through it. Your word is the strength of our life, it's the authority of our life. And I pray that we would allow you to have your way and help us to obey what we find in your word. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we come back to the mountain and we get into the ending of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Several important truths, though, remain for us to see and to discover here. Last week, we saw the importance of the proper gate choice that we have to make. We learned all about that. One hard and right, one easy, and definitely a wrong choice for people. We also saw last week that there were different areas of twos, to gates, to trees, to foundations, to builders, Jesus talks about in this passage. And so we realize that Jesus, in his love for us, has given us a warning here. It's always one who loves us that gives us warnings. If somebody doesn't care about you, they're not going to give you a warning. Just let them go. Let them learn on their own. Let them crash and burn. That's what they deserve anyway. But no, he warns us. He warns us in his love to take note of these things. Be on your guard because of the importance of what we learn in life. There are those who will lead you astray from the truth, if possible. We need to then be on guard what we hear. We need to guard what we hear and learn that there are ways that we can discern the things that we hear and the things that are taught to us. And so Jesus gives us that instruction in this place, in these texts before us. If you learn from a false teacher, your chances of choosing the right gate are slim. That is the main concern of the Lord's, is that we make the right choice, that we discern the proper instructors, the right teachers that are there. Think how dangerous a teacher is that teaches a lie, false narratives, misinformation. Those that are seeking to rewrite history and teach it as fact, what they teach is false, and they know it, but they don't care. We see this happening all over in our education system in this day in which we live, starting very young, going all the way through the universities. And so what do we expect when we see these people coming out of these institutions, delusioned as so many of them are? You see them interviewed on the news with what's happened to Israel, and they're standing with Palestine, and they're standing with terrorists, because after all, you know, isn't Israel the perpetrators? And they've been taught, and they've been brainwashed, and they've been led to believe these things. Teach false information long enough, people begin to believe that it's truth, and that's dangerous. That doesn't happen by accident. It's a planned thing. And if we're not in tune to it, the effects of it are super damaging. Just this week, after the terrible incidents and events that have happened in Israel, supporters of the terrorist groups are telling us, and I heard one interview that somebody actually said, well, AI created this whole thing. It didn't really happen. And so how delusional can we get? And yet they really believe that. People who don't know how to think anymore because of false teachers hear these kinds of things and they believe it. Misinformed people listen to sources that are not correct and yet they believe it. And they never bother to find out that, oh, a few days later it came out in the smallest and the tiniest print. Oh, we got that wrong. They didn't see that. They didn't hear that because they're being led astray. And Jesus is warning us, watch it, be careful, be on your guard. These people are out there. We live in an evil world, and our spiritual sensitivities must be on full alert, and they need to be on full alert constantly. Our spiritual life, our spiritual eyes need to be open. See, when falsehoods filter into the church, the danger is even greater, because we're dealing with eternal matters where people will spend their eternity And when we see falsehoods coming in and false teachers in the church, that's super dangerous. Once again, thinking about the two gates. So here in John, or in Matthew, in the 15th verse, Jesus warns us. He says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravaging wolves." And so we think about that. Focus on these two things that he's going to talk about. He's going to be sharing in just a few minutes about two types of trees. These two trees refer to two types of teachers that are out there. Those who teach the word of God rightly, dividing the word of truth, and those teachers who make the Bible say what they want to appease the ears of their hearers, and oftentimes because it impacts the giving of their money. You can make the Bible say whatever you want. Doesn't mean it's right. You can pick and choose and you can cut, and there's many, many scissors theologians out there and scissors Christians who cut this piece out and that piece out and try and blend them together and tell us, well, this is what the Bible says. Well, it might say this part here and that part there, but it doesn't come together like that. And so we've got to make it a priority to know the truth of God's word and to have it living in us. That is of utmost importance. Knowing the priorities, the truths of God's word, so that they live in us and that they're seen in us by how we live and who we are. You see, God's truths need to change our minds and filter out the trash that we've been hearing for years and the garbage that so often comes to us in many different ways and in many different forms. And when we're unsuspecting or we're not paying attention or we're not careful, those things filter in. And they can often come back, and we wonder, where does that coming from? Paul in Romans chapter 12 tells us in verse 2, he says, "Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Even in his age and in his day, these false teachers were there, these false prophets were there, Jesus' day. This is nothing new. They are just more prominent now. They have more means. There's better ways in which they can communicate. There's more exposure through the technologies that we have. And so Paul says, don't be conformed to this. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What's the reason that we need to have our minds transformed? So that we may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. If your mind's not being transformed, you're going to have a hard time finding out what the will of God is and doing the will of God. Our minds need to be transformed. Our minds must be renewed on a constant daily basis. And it's the word of God that does it. It's the only thing that can. It has the power to filter that stuff out. So Jesus tells us to test those preachers, teachers, that you hear by their fruit. And he talks to us there. He says, beware of them. And he says, you'll recognize them by their fruit in verse 16. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes, figs from thistles? He says, in the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, but bad produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, neither can a good tree produce good fruit. And so he's warning us, watch, listen, see, inspect. He tells us to be careful. Notice that, as I said, it's not an accident that false teachers are in the church and even in higher education. In institutions that I would never have believed before, if you told me there's these kinds of guys teaching this in these seminaries, I'd say, yeah, there's no way, but it's happening. It's happening. In those prestigious places that used to turn out great preachers and ministers of the word are teaching things that are contrary to God's word. And it's tragic. And nobody's doing anything about it. These teachers on purpose seek to deceive, to lead people astray. A lot to answer for someday. And they will answer for that unless they repent and get it right. The enemy of our soul doesn't want people to hear the truth of the Bible, which will then give them the light and the guidance to a life change in Christ. So he'll do whatever he can to try and cloud the issue of Scripture. Look back into just in our recent histories, back, you know, to the 90s, the 80s, the 70s, the 60s, the attacks on the Bible. If they can attack the Bible and tear it down, then the whole foundation is gone. Just like they tried to do, like they've done in America. You know, you can't have the Ten Commandments anywhere. Because if you do, somebody might read them, and if they read them, they might follow them. Funny thing. Maybe you wouldn't have school shootings. Maybe you wouldn't have these tragedies that are going on because people would realize what they need to read and do. We can't have that. And we wonder, as we've kicked God out of our country, and as our nation commits some of the horrendous things that happened in Israel are happening every day. I forget the number, is 1,200 or 2,700 every day, so many minutes, babies are being murdered in our country through abortion. And we wonder why God is angry and sick, and we've told him, just leave us alone. And then when we see what happens, and when we see what happens in our nation, we wonder, well, where's God in all this? God's where we told him to go, out of here. And so we need to, as Christians, be standing in the gap for our nation and for those things that we hold dear. And we need to be standing in that gap, just as God used the prophets, used Moses and others to stand in the gap. We need to stand in the gap for our country through our praying. Can you imagine the danger? As Jesus uses the analogy in a little bit, we saw it in our scripture reading of a wolf in sheep's clothing, getting into a sheep pen, what that would be like. What would that be like? Well, people in Jesus' day knew it would happen. Be instant lamb chops. Be chaos. So that thing dressed in a way that would try and fool the shepherd. That's why Jesus said the good shepherd, he protects the sheep in John chapter 10 and others. You see, the good shepherd pays attention to what's going on. The good shepherd sees those things. We need to be good shepherds in the realms where we are. We need to be watching what's going on in our families. We need to be watching what's coming into our families. We need to be watching what's coming into our own lives and our own hearts and our own minds and our own ears by what's out there. We need to be watching because there's wolves in sheep's clothing trying to get in. And that's how Jesus likens these false teachers who knowingly lead people astray. They disguise themselves. And they come in as pious and righteous and holy, and they're going to tell us, what we need to know. Are you able to recognize a wolf in sheep's clothing? Are you able to see it? Can you discern when a half-truth, and really what's a half, that's an oxymoron, a half-truth, isn't it, is presented? Because a half-truth is no truth at all. It's a lie. Jesus saw this dangerous stuff going on, and we need to see it as well. And that's why he's warning us. As he concludes this message that he's giving, that watch out for these things because eternity is at stake. Eternal values are here. Paul Washer said this. He says, people do not fear sin because they don't fear God. And they do not fear God because they don't know God. And they don't know God because most preachers aren't preaching God. And most preachers don't preach God because they don't know God. It's like, wow. Think about it. Sadly, this is happening more and more in our day. Preachers, teachers, we don't want to offend anyone. We don't want to make you upset. The world is upsetting enough. We want you to come in and we want to make you feel good about who you are. And we want you to be patted on the head. Even if you need to repent, well, we just want you to feel good, is what so many say. They want to keep you giving so that they can keep on the false ideals and enjoy their lifestyles. So don't offend, don't upset is the mantra out there in so many and too many cases. So in that 16th verse, Jesus said, you'll recognize them by their fruit. Jesus said, look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. Sad thing is a lot of times those that get their false information can't examine the fruit, only from the teaching. They can't examine the life unless what happens comes into the news of the secular media, who loves to find when somebody that's been prominent in the faith does something wrong, and then they put it out there and we say, oh, I couldn't imagine that. Well, did you listen to the fruit? Did you watch the fruit? The fruit will tell you what a teacher, a preacher, whether they're worth listening to or not. The old saying, the proof is in the pudding, is so true. So there's two tests of the fruit of those who are teachers. One is the test of the life of the one doing the preaching or the teaching. The second is the fruit of their doctrine that they share. One is in their life, one is in what they say. So here's the danger And this is what calls for discernment in our lives. A person can have a wonderful, beautiful looking life, and that's all we look at and say, wow, look at them. Isn't that magnificent the way they are and the way they look and the way they come across? And we're tempted to believe anything they say because, after all, can someone that is that suave and is somebody that good, can they do anything wrong? I'd be surprised. Wolves in sheep's clothing, we need to be cautious. As great as their life may be on the outside, their doctrine could be all wrong. And instead, they're producing fruit that the enemy will be proud of instead of the Lord. Jesus says, beware, test the fruit. Test the fruit. The other test is that is just as important, and that is where some may teach a wonderful doctrine and they know the right language and they know the right words to say, but their life is rotten fruit. Just rotten fruit. Jesus is telling us to test the doctrine by its fruit. Test the teacher by his or her fruit. And there's two tests that we must be using. That's what makes us good Bereans. You see, the Lord uses the difference between fruit and thistles. Which would you rather pick? Good fruit off an easy tree, or go in there and pick a bunch of thistles and briars and pickers? You see, some have interpreted this, and they may be right, to be a caution. Because there are people out there that love to do nothing but sit and nitpick. They love to sit and listen. What can I find out that they're doing and saying wrong so that I can capitalize on this? And this is a caution to that, to make their duty to go around finding fault. And with everyone who teaches, looking for something to complain about. I knew a fellow like that who said it's his job, it's his calling to go around and mess with pastors and mess with preachers. He's a sad and tragic person. To claim that that's what he thinks God wants him to do. He's not the judge and the bearer of bad or good news to people. You see, discernment is always needed, but not carnal suspicion. That comes from a heart that's out of tune with the Lord. That's why we need discernment. We hear and we see and we listen and we judge by the fruit, not by our prejudices. Not by our, well, he offended me, or he did that to me, or she said that to me, and I don't like them anymore. So if I can find something against them, there's a lot of people out there. You'd be surprised. Maybe you don't know any, but in 47 years of ministry, I've run into a lot of them, and I've seen all kinds. Listen carefully. Watch for fruit. Both kinds of doctrine and of character. Those kind. What fruit are they bearing? Think about it. Wrong teaching produces fruit just like right teaching does, except it's the wrong kind of fruit. One will be good fruit, the other is going to be thorns and thistles. And then in verses 17 and 18, Jesus goes on, he says, in the same way, every good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, neither can a good tree or bad tree produce good fruit. So the two trees are contrasted here as an example of what fruit testing looks like. Good trees are going to produce good fruit. The same is true for a bad tree. It's going to produce bad fruit. If you got a bad fruit tree and it continually produces bad fruit, and every year you go out there and say, well, maybe this year we'll get good fruit, you should have cut that tree down a long time ago and replaced it with a good one so that by now you're receiving good fruit from a tree. Each of us is to be producing fruit in our lives, even if you're not a public speaker. You're still to be producing fruit in your life. Our lives should be showing that fruit of who Christ is. When we claim to be a Christian and walking with Jesus, those around us, those who know us, those who work with us, those who live by us, those who are there, have every right to watch our private lives and see if what we say matches, because we claim to be a Christian. And when we claim that, they have every right to inspect. They have every right to look. They have every right to watch us. And so we need to be cautious on how we live. Our walk must match our talk. And this is a sign of good roots. And we say, what we say is, followers of Jesus, our roots need to be deep in Him. And this is where we need to remember the disciples of Christ. We must produce the fruit of the Spirit as His disciples. That fruit needs to be in our lives. His indwelling presence produces good fruit as we live in obedience to Him. And that fruit, as we know, found in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, where the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Paul says, against those things, there's no need for any laws because you're going to be doing what's right. So to say you're a follower of Jesus and not produce this fruit, people are going to see you that you're a fraud and you're not right with what you say. So a true sign of a disciple of Christ, a true sign of a follower of Jesus, is fruit bearing. Watch for it, not just in teachers, but also in every professing Christian. If you go to John chapter 15, Jesus talks about that starting in verse 1. John 15, starting in verse 1, he says, I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit because you can do nothing without me. And so we're all to be producing this fruit. And this fruit should be visible. And this fruit should be seen. And this fruit should be inspected by those that are around us. Moving back to what Jesus is saying, Matthew chapter 7, verses 19 and 20, Jesus says, every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. That's what he just said in John 15. If you're not doing what's right, that branch is lopped off. So you will recognize them by their fruit. The warning here is for us to make sure that we have good fruit-producing lives. Our lives need to produce those things that are good quality for God. We're doing it for Him and for His glory, for nothing else, because He told us to. We're being obedient to Him. Our goal is to make disciples, sharing with others the gospel, so that they have the ability to become fruit-producing themselves as they come to know Christ. We are again encouraged to live according to God's word, the place that we want our roots to be deep in. And our roots need to be sinking deeply into His word, because that's the source that draws the nourishment that produces the good fruit in our lives. The exciting possibilities of our lives lived out before a lost world is a reality as we grow in the knowledge and the use of the Bible. Think about that. Think about those possibilities that we have in our lives. There's lost people everywhere. There's lost people that are struggling. And today, it's so much easier than ever before because people are hurting and people are so confused with what's going on to be able to guide them and to direct them and to have them open to listening to what we have to say. And so we realize that as the world around us is in that condition, the growing in the knowledge of the Word of God by us is so important because the Bible, because of its truths, because of its promises, because of its commands, the living Word producing fruit in our lives will be that fruit that is what's pleasing to the Lord. Out of our lives then will flow streams of living water to a dry and a dark and a lost world, coming from us who are called to be light and called to be salt. Jesus taught that at the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount. That's how we're to be. That's how we're to live. Jesus encourages us, have your roots deep in Him. Have your roots deep because He is the Word. He's the living Word. He's the Logos, the living Word. And in Him, our fruit is good, and our fruit that's produced is honoring to Him, and it glorifies Him. We'll be known by our fruit. People will recognize us for who we are in Christ. And that's so important for us to see, to be recognized by Him. And then Jesus kind of gives a sober warning here. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and do many miracles in your name? Then I will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawbreakers. That's pretty astounding to think about, to realize that that can happen. Here we have the separation of the talkers and those that claim to be the real deal. There's a separation. Our world is filled with those, and there's churches that are filled with those who know the Christian language. It's called Christianese. You know the Christian terms. You know the Christian talk. You know the Christian language. These people talk a good line. They talk like, wow, and they fooled many. They also forget, though, that their fruit will reveal who they are. You can talk a good line for a long time, but your fruit will reveal it. The sad thing oftentimes that these people have fooled themselves. They've done it for so long, they fooled themselves and they believe that, I've lived life and trying to do good. And man, I've tried to look like a Christian but that's not going to get them anywhere. It's not going to get them anywhere. Here again, the goal is entering the kingdom. Jesus says, the narrow gate. Those who have chosen the narrow gate won't have to worry about this. Those that have chosen the narrow gate won't ever have to worry about the Lord saying, I don't know who you are. Get away from me. Those who have chosen the wide gate will be those who try to talk their way into the kingdom. And there's some good talkers out there. There's some good talkers. You hear people ask this often at funerals. They were such a good person. They did so many wonderful things. Don't you think they made it? Well, the only answer that is truthful is this. If they entered by the narrow gate, by choosing to follow the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father, then they're okay. But if they didn't, there's no other way. It's so important that we live to do the will of God. Every day that we get up, we should make that decision. Lord, I want to do your will today. Earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus saw and gave to us a model for prayer. And he made mention of this and its importance in life in that sixth chapter in verse 10, where he's teaching that model of prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Where? On earth, in my life, right here, where I live, where I work, where I play, where I go to church, everything that I do, may your will be done just as it is in heaven. How's his will carried out in heaven? Right to the T, just the way he wants it. In life, we must not only confess that we know him and love the Lord, but we must daily be doing his will. Because if we're not, we're just talking. Fruit proves profession. Fruit proves profession. Fruit proves what you talk about. Just talk about good intentions will not get the job done or his kingdom built. Sadly enough, there will be many surprised people who thought that they could live on the fence, profess and talk Christian, but who didn't actually belong to Christ through salvation. Here again, we're to evaluate the fruit, no matter who it is. The teachers of the word and those who say they're disciples of Christ all need to come and have their fruit inspected by us and us by them. To those who profess with their words only, Jesus says, depart. Or as the Greek word says, go away from me. Go away from me. Man, I'd never want to hear that out of Jesus' mouth. Go away from me. Jesus sums up this sermon then in this last paragraph of chapter 7. And he begins by saying this in verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a sensible man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded the house, yet it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. Therefore, based on what Jesus just said, He uses that connecting word, therefore. He says it's based on action, not just hearing. It's based on doing. Kind of reminds you what James says, doesn't it? Be doers of the word and not hearers only, fooling yourself. Well, so Jesus builds on this theme in these verses when he says, therefore, and proceeds to tell us about the two foundations and the two builders that built on them. These builders will build based upon the fruit that's in their lives. That's what they're going to build on. Because a good tree can't produce good or bad fruit. Bad tree doesn't produce good fruit. So a good life lived by God's standards is going to have a good foundation. We all know the two scenarios. Maybe you remember if you were raised in Sunday school as a kid, the little chorus, I'm not going to sing it for you. The wise man built his house on the rock. The wise man built his house on the rock. And then the foolish man built his house on the sand. And the walls came tumbling down. And we had all the little motions that we did. So true. Not just for little kids. We ought to maybe learn that back again as adults. With the motions. Standing firm on that foundation that God gives to us. Verse 24 makes it clear on what's to happen. Those who hear and those who act on them. And that's what the wise man is. This is the way that we should be, but it's not always the case. Verse 26 says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the rivers rose, the winds blew and pounded that house, and it collapsed. And its collapse was great. There will be those who hear the truths of God's word, but as Jesus says, they won't act on it. Kind of reminds us of the parable of the soils, where the seed fell. Only some fell on the good ground where it produced. You see, if those who hear the truths of his word but don't act on it, the results are disastrous. When the tests of life, the trials, the pressures come on us, the fruit of how we handle them is going to be seen. And people have a right to see it. If we take and obey and seek to do his will, our foundation will be strong and will stand firm even in the midst of those things that go on that would normally take us down, not any longer, because our foundation is there. But on the other hand, if we do our own thing and expect results that are good even when we don't do it God's way, the results will be total collapse of what we built. I'll tell you this, life's too short to not do things God's way. Life's too short. Whether you live 90 or 100 years, that's short in comparison to eternity. Notice the effect then, as Jesus closes this out, and Matthew closes this out, the effect that this sermon had on the hearers of Jesus in verses 28 and 29. When Jesus had finished this sermon, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, because he was teaching them like one who had authority and not like their scribes. What a difference. Somebody who is bearing the right fruit and teaching. When God's word went out to the people, they heard the difference between Jesus, who had authority, and upon those scribes, the false teachers, who were not doing what God wanted. Our responsibility is to hear his word, to respond in obedience, and to live for his glory, bearing fruit every day. We must be building our lives on the rock, and that rock is Jesus. And that's the way it needs to be. There was another, I think it was a hymn, that rock is Jesus, the only one. I thought that one as I finished this off, you know, and I don't think it's in any of our hymn books, but the only way. I think George Beverly Shea used to sing it at some of the crusades that sometimes we're there, the solid rock. And again, I'm not going to try and sing it for you, but see if you can find the words. It's a good song. The solid rock is great to have. So.